This is the Urban Christian News Podcast. Here are the top stories you need to know about today. According to Houston Chronicle, two Harris County deputies were killed within 24 hours of each other this weekend, marking one of the deadliest time spans for cops in the Houston area since late 2019. Around 12:45 a.m. Sunday, a driver gunned down Harris County Precinct 5 Constable's Office Corporal Charles Galloway in the 9100 block of Beechnut as the lawman attempted a traffic stop. Galloway had yet to get out of his patrol SUV before shots rang out. The shooter managed to escape. Houston police, who are investigating the shooting, did not have an update Monday morning. In a dire twist of fate, around the same time Monday morning, a driver hit and killed Harris County Sheriff's Office Sergeant Ramon Gutierrez as he was escorting an oversized load along the East Sam Houston Parkway near Tildwell Road. Gutierrez had positioned his police motorcycle to block an exit ramp as he, while on foot, directed traffic. Investigators allege 40-year-old driver Lavilia Spry was intoxicated when she drove around the motorcycle and hit Gutierrez before fleeing. Other law enforcement officers who were also escorting the load chased Spry, who eventually stopped a mile away near the intersection of Van Hutt and Huntersfield Lanes, just around the corner from her home, court records show. She's been booked in Harris County on charges of failure to stop and render aid, evading arrest and intoxication, manslaughter. Purported footage of the woman's car shot by unseen TV shows it had a damaged bumper and headlight. Gutierrez left behind a wife and three children, one of whom is supposed to be married in the coming months, according to Gonzalez. A father won't be there to walk his daughter down the aisle, he said, tearfully, during a press conference Monday. You can't put a price on that. The two deputized officers are the most recent to die on the job in and around Houston in recent months. According to NPR, the Pentagon is placing about 8,500 U.S. troops on heightened alert to possibly deploy to Eastern Europe as Russian forces stand poised for a possible invasion of Ukraine. Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby said on Monday that the decision to deploy troops has not been made. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has placed a range of units in the United States on a heightened preparedness to deploy, which increases our readiness to provide forces if NATO should activate the NATO Response Force or if other situations develop, Kirby said. The NATO Response Force is a multinational force of roughly 40,000 troops that can deploy quickly as needed. The force would be deployed at NATO's request, Kirby said. Some U.S. forces are already on heightened alert. Austin heightened their status further, Kirby said, by shortening the number of days it would take to deploy from 10 to 5. It's very clear that the Russians have no intention right now of de-escalating, Kirby said, adding that Austin wanted to give U.S. forces time to prepare to be on a shorter tether just in case. The countries where the U.S. troops could be sent has not been determined, Kirby said, though he indicated they could be sent to Eastern Europe. Possible destinations include Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, or Hungary. The New York Times reported that the Baltic countries, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania were also under consideration. According to the Associated Press, Islamic extremists have abducted 17 girls in northeast Nigeria, witnesses said Saturday, as the West African nation's military said it remains resolute in decisively countering the terrorists. Members of the Boko Haram jihadi group attacked Pemi, a village in the Chibok local government area of Borno State on Thursday. The state is where Boko Haram's decade-long insurgency against the Nigeria government has been concentrated. In a statement late Friday, the Islamic State group also claimed responsibility for killing many Christians and setting fire to two churches and several houses during an attack on the Borno town of Bimi. Authorities blame Boko Haram for the killing of tens of thousands of people in Nigeria and neighboring countries in West Africa. The militants targeted a church and Christians when they stormed Pemi on Thursday, according to local leader Hassan Shibak. They were shooting sporadically after they rounded the community, Shibak said. Some could not have access to escape, so they abducted 17 girls. 8 of the girls came from one household, he said. Another resident, Yana Galang, said the extremists razed a church building and targeted nearby houses. Some of them, the abducted girls, are 10, 11, 12 years, Galang said. They just parked their vehicle near the compounds. You know, as children, they just scared them and put them in the vehicle. The abduction of the girls from Pemi recalled the 2014 kidnapping of 276 schoolgirls in Chibok, a remote town situated 130 kilometers south of Maiduguri, the capital of Borno State. More than 100 of the abducted students remain missing. According to CNN, the second New York Police Department officer who was shot while responding to a domestic incident in Harlem last week has died. It's with great sadness I announce the passing of Police Officer Wilbert Mora, NYPD Commissioner Kichan Sewell said on Twitter. Wilbert is 3 times a hero for choosing a life of service, for sacrificing his life to protect others, for giving life even in death through organ donation. Our heads are bowed and our hearts are heavy. Mora, 27, and Officer Jason Rivera, 22, were fatally shot Friday when a suspected gunman opened fire in a Harlem apartment, authorities said. The suspect, LaShawn McNeil, tried to run but was confronted and shot by a third officer on the scene, police said. McNeil died on Monday. Moore and Rivera are just 2 of 5 NYPD officers who have been shot in the nation's largest city in the first month of 2022. In addition, a woman was pushed onto the subway tracks in Times Square, and a baby was hit in the face by crossfire in the Bronx. These acts of violence under a new city administration, coming off a year that saw an increase in homicides, have dramatically changed the tenor of policing in New York City over the course of just a few days. Now, as officials enact plans to stem violent crime and illegal gun ownership, the city is preparing for the return of plainclothes units that had been disbanded nearly 2 years earlier. Mayor Eric Adams, a former New York Police Department captain who began his term less than 4 weeks ago, touted his law and order experience during the election campaign. Now lawlessness has become his biggest immediate challenge following a spate of high-profile attacks on residents and police alike. According to the Wall Street Journal, COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. have reached the highest level since early last year, eclipsing daily averages from the recent Delta-fueled surge after the newer Omicron variant spread widely through the country and caused record-shattering case counts. The 7-day average for newly reported COVID-19 deaths reached 2,188 a day by Monday, up about 1,000 from daily death counts 2 months ago, before Omicron was first detected, data from Johns Hopkins University show. While emerging evidence shows Omicron is less likely to kill the people it infects because the variant spreads with unmatched speed, the avalanche of cases can overwhelm any mitigating factors, epidemiologists say. You can have a disease that is for any particular person less deadly than another, like Omicron, but if it is more infectious and reaches more people, then you're more likely to have a lot of deaths, said Robert Anderson, chief of the Mortality Statistics Branch of the National Center for Health Statistics, which is part of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The U.S. saw the highest number of deaths in the pandemic about a year ago, before vaccines were widely available, when the daily average reached 3,400. More recently, the Delta variant triggered a peak just above 2,100 in late September. Omicron has since muscled Delta aside and now accounts for nearly every known COVID-19 case, the CDC has estimated. The 7-day death average last topped the current level in February 2021 as the U.S. recovered from last winter's surge. According to USA Today, as the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympic Games approach and COVID-19 concerns mount, NBC Sports will not send any of its announcing teams to China. The announced teams for these Olympics, including figure skating, will be calling events from our Stamford, Connecticut facility due to COVID concerns, Greg Hughes, Senior Vice President Communications, NBC Sports said in a phone interview. We'll still have a large presence on the ground in Beijing, and our coverage of everything will be first-rate as usual, but our plans are evolving by the day as they are for most media companies covering the Olympics. NBC's broadcasting teams for figure skating, alpine skiing, and snowboarding had been expected to be in Beijing, but those plans have been cancelled. The network's Olympic host Mike Tirico will still be in China for the February 4th opening ceremony and a few days of the Games, but will then leave for Los Angeles to host the February 13th Super Bowl, which also is on NBC this year. Many of the announced teams for the various Winter Olympic sports were already scheduled to be based in Stamford. NBC employed a similar strategy for its coverage of the Tokyo Summer Olympics in July-August 2021, although some of the broadcasting crews were on site for the most popular sports, including swimming and gymnastics. That, of course, was well before the Omicron variant began raging around the world, creating increasing concerns that anyone traveling to Beijing, from the athletes of the world to accredited members of the media, could test positive while at the Games and have to spend days and even weeks in quarantine. According to NFL.com, we just bore witness to the greatest weekend in NFL playoff history. All four divisional round games were won with no tie remaining in regulation or in overtime, the most such finishes in an entire postseason in NFL history, according to NFL research. The weekend kicked off with the Cincinnati Bengals staving off a collapse against the Tennessee Titans with a late interception, another Joe Burrow Jamar Chase connection, and even McPherson nailing a 52-yard field goal. Then the San Francisco 49ers rallied in Green Bay using a blocked punt to tie a low-scoring bout, pummeling presumptive NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers and setting up a Robbie Gould 45-yarder to upset the Packers at Lambeau Field. The Los Angeles Rams almost became Tom Brady's latest conquest as LA gave up a 27-3 lead to the reigning Super Bowl champs, with TB12 guiding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers into a tie game with 42 seconds remaining. But Matthew Stafford beat the Bucs blitz, and Cooper Kupp got wide open deep, setting up Matt Gay's revenge on a 30-yard winner. Gay's field goal marked the third game in which the winning points were scored with no time left in the fourth quarter, the most of such finishes in an entire postseason, let alone a single weekend in NFL history. The prelude set up the wildest, most entertaining game in a weekend of unforgettable memories. The Kansas Chiefs, or rather the Kansas City Chiefs and Buffalo Bills, lit up the scoreboard late, with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen proving every bit the superstars we expected them to be. The two quarterbacks combined for 25 points in the final 2 minutes of regulation. After Allen threw his fourth touchdown of the night, Mahomes needed just 13 seconds to force overtime. From there, the Chiefs won the coin toss and marched down the field, ending the game on a Travis Kelce touchdown on the first possession of overtime. The stage is now set for a hella entertaining championship Sunday. The upstart Bengals head to Arrowhead to face a Chiefs team they beat 34-31 in Week 17, and the 49ers are going to LA to try to win their seventh straight game over the Rams. You can read these stories and more at UrbanChristianNews.com. In closing, remember, God loves you. He always has and He always will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's a good day to get to know Him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried and rose from the dead for you. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless your day.